From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, May 22nd, 2017. And on this day, last week, the LePage administration announced the Downey's Correctional Facility in Machiasport would close, but the closure is part of a budget that hasn't been approved. Now the plan is in appropriations. And we'll hear about a company in rural Oxford County that uses mostly remote workers. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the Law Offices of Joe Bornstein, dedicated to serving injured and disabled Mainers from Kittery to Caribou. JoeBornstein.com. And by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Last week, the Maine Department of Corrections sent pink slips to all the workers at the Downey's Correctional Facility in Machiasport because under the budget plan proposed by Governor Paul LePage, the facility would be closed. That budget, though, has not been approved by the legislature, and so the dispute has found its way to the Appropriations Committee. Mal Leary has our story.
Before the governor's budget can even reach the floor of the House or Senate, it has to make it through appropriations. But committee members say they don't have enough information about the administration's plan to close the Downey's facility and relocate its 75 inmates. Representative John Martin, a Democrat from Eagle Lake, says he has information from guards and others that inmates across the state system who have 7 months or less to serve would have their sentences reduced, and the remaining inmates at Downey's could be transferred to other prisons. Republican Representative Jeff Timberlake of Turner questioned the veracity of that information.
It's hearsay, and I don't think there's any fact at this point in time. It's true, it may be, but at this point in time, it's just hearsay.
Let me just follow up with that, Mr. Chairman. That is not hearsay, and I think that to do information in closed doors and back doors and get information that way about what's going on would be a horrible mistake.
Martin and other members say if the administration has a plan for closing down East, it should share it. Democratic Representative Drew Gattine of Westbrook co-chairs the committee.
I am not requesting that we have a full public hearing on this issue. I do think it is important that we have a work session where we hear from the administration and perhaps others about the situation.
The other co-chair, Republican Senator Jim Hamper of Oxford, says the committee should issue a request that administration officials appear at a work session later this week. Augusta Republican Senator Roger Cates says he also has questions about the status of a pre-release center for Washington County that was approved as part of the financing package for the Maine Correctional Center last year.
What is the status of the administration's efforts to carry out the intent, the legislature's intent with respect to the Washington County Pre-Release Center?
There have been past discussions at the State House about sending some Downey's Correctional Center employees to that pre-release center, who would otherwise be laid off. As expected, the layoff notices upset union officials. Jim Mackey of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, that represents corrections officers at Downey's, says legal action is possible.
The attorneys are still chewing on whether or not we have standing to file for an injunctive relief on that at this point in time. So we're still waiting from the final, whether we are or not from our attorneys.
The Appropriations Committee had set themselves a deadline of this week to complete their action on the budget so the full legislature could consider it next week. Some on the panel doubt that can happen and say the dispute over the Downey's Correctional Facility will only slow down the process. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Maine's independent Senator Angus King said today that there is absolutely no doubt that the Russian government attempted to interfere with the 2016 presidential election. King, who is a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, told an AARP audience at the Bangor Public Library that Congress must take a bipartisan approach to determine what role, if any, the Trump campaign had in the Russian effort to influence the election's outcome.
Whatever conclusion we reach, if we reach a conclusion that there was no connection between the Trump campaign and the Russians, or that there was, it has to be believable by the majority of Americans. It can't be viewed as a witch hunt or a whitewash. And that's why it's so important, I think, to have it be both parties.
President Trump has maintained there was no collusion between his campaign and Russia and has denied ever asking FBI Director James Comey to scale back an FBI investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Maine's insurance co-op, Community Health Options, is back in the black after sustaining operating losses of nearly $90 million in the past 2 years. A report from Maine's Bureau of Insurance says in the first quarter of 2017, Community Health Options had a surplus of $3.7 million. The co-op's Mike Gendro says the company was able to pull itself out of the deficit by reducing administrative costs, increasing rates, and educating members on when to go to the emergency room versus a doctor's office or a clinic.
In certain cases, a sore throat, for example, would be, you know, call your provider, talk with your provider, and they may be able to help you over the phone or go into the office to see them, rather than access the most expensive care available.
Gendro says Community Health Options is projected to remain profitable for the rest of 2017. A former Colby College president has announced that he is resigning as chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities effective tomorrow. William Brough Adams was nominated by President Barack Obama and became the 10th NEH chairman in July of 2014. In a tweet, First District Congresswoman Shelley Pingree calls Adams' resignation a loss for NEH. In a statement released by the endowment, Adams says he's encouraged that Congress and the president increase the organization's funding for the current year and that the White House has begun the process of bringing new political appointees to the agency. Adams plans to return to Falmouth. And a high-tech company in rural western Maine employs more than 50 people from all over the state and beyond. About a quarter show up to work at the company's headquarters in South Paris every day, but most don't. And as Lori Valigra reports, the company's founder says it's all part of a strategy that allows Mingle Analytics to expand its skilled and loyal workforce without having to leave Oxford County.
Bobby Manson is at the end of a busy workday. She's entering medical data into an application that her employer uses to help physicians improve their patient service and, in turn, raise their reimbursement rates from Medicare. The job pays well, comparable or better than most in Greater Portland. And the best part is she doesn't have to leave the comfort of her own house.
I have two daughters and a son. My husband as well works from home. You know, I certainly could have, you know, done what many people I worked with did and done the daycare route and dropped them off. But just my husband and I, when we got married, that's not the life we wanted to lead. We wanted to raise the kids. We wanted to be here for them.
Manson is Mingle's software development manager. She has 9 people reporting to her, from Ellsworth, Maine to Warsaw, Poland. The company has 56 employees, and most of them log in remotely from their homes as far away as New Sweden, near the Canadian border in northern Maine, to Colorado and beyond. Only about 25% of the staff comes into the office in a small commercial building above a restaurant in South Paris.
Well, we started the company here in South Paris, Maine, because this is where me and the first employee lived.
Founder Dr. Dan Mingle says when he launched Mingle Analytics 6 years ago, he knew that finding and keeping a good workforce might be a challenge, particularly here in rural Oxford County.
And thought we'd last about a year to 2 years before we'd needed to move south to Portland, probably, to tap into a larger labor market.
But he found letting employees work at home helped him pull in the talent he needs.
And it worked extraordinarily well. I was incredibly surprised.
Now, the early futurists predicted that everybody would work from home and that we would work from electronic cottages and there would be no need for cities and things like this. Certainly that hasn't come to pass.
Ryan Wallace is director of the Maine Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Southern Maine, which is close to completing a 2-year study on remote workers. He says 6% of the overall workforce in Maine works from home, and about half of those are salaried.
What we found is that sort of the middle to older age workforce are the ones that are engaging in remote work.
Mingle says there are 3 main reasons that people might want to work from home. Either they live too far away, work better and more comfortably at home.
And other people, it's personal concerns, a family member to take care of, a child at home, an elderly adult to take care of. So it's just easier if they're there to supervise. And I'm amazed at how many people I find in the pucker brush here in Maine that are extraordinarily talented and working for companies out of state.
The company offers fee-based consulting and software services that help medical providers determine how much Medicare will reimburse them. Mingle, a former family physician himself, says he saw a need for the service as Medicare started rating doctors on their quality of care.
For an entrepreneur physician, healthcare is a target-rich environment, lots of things to do to improve care and improve cost.
Mingle anticipates that at the company's projected rate of growth, the current workforce of 56 could triple or even quadruple over the next 5 years. And many of those new hires, he says, will work remotely. Still, from his home just a few miles from the office, the company founder admits that working from home isn't for everybody, including him.
Sometimes I just have to there you go. That's what's distracting. When I get on the phone, she likes to do that.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Lori Villigra.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Monday, May 22nd, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.